All right, amen. Okay, so for ochend, this morning, I wanna talk to you about irreplaceable. And you know, being Father's Day and so on, I'm quite aware that if you speak to fathers alone, you run the risk of people that do not have their fathers or not good relationships, or you know, there's a woman who's raising her kids on her own. So there's all kinds of scenarios, and my brain has been working overtime on, you know, not to, obviously you never want to offend someone, but if you will allow me this morning to speak to the father, since it's Father's Day, I want to have a chat to them. Although the stuff that I'm about to share is obviously applicable to anybody, and I think although what I'm going to speak about was directly addressed to sons, I believe it applies to daughters as well. Amen. So, because daughters need it too, we know they, you know, twice refined and slightly perfect and all that stuff. But sometimes it's good to just to talk to them as well. So Father, we come before you this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord God, that want to speak into our lives, and we want to declare our hearts are open. We want to receive from you this morning, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will move in this place, and you will just have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, because it's Father's Day, I was thinking about this whole thing about parenting, and I realized parenting is a costly business. Loretta, I was a bit slow out of the blocks. We waited 8 years before Jemuel pitched, for many reasons. You know, you start your own business, you don't have money. So that's mainly the excuse normally for not having children, and it's like, yeah, we cannot afford this thing. But apart from money, parenting is a costly business. You know, I think it's probably one of the places that I've realized the most that you die to yourself, because where I wanted to go fishing now, we can't go anywhere because the baby's sick. And I said, no, what now? Now we must stay at home. And you have all this little scenarios that sort of play into who you are and your life that you lived as a single, or just like in our case, being married for a long time, just the two of us. You know, for us it was easy. If we wanted to go anywhere, we go, you know, kos gaan kuier vir so en so. And it was like, off we go. And then suddenly you have this first baby and you say, yeah, let's go somewhere. And it's like, wait, right. So the piccolo must go, the camping cot must go, we must pack the dukkah sock. Do we have lunch? Do we have spare clothes? Do we have enough nappies? You know, if you sitting here are very experienced in this drill, that it's no longer just a klim in die kar en ry type situation. You know, I remember we had a little Uno Pacer. Who of you know a little Uno Pacer? We had a Uno Pacer when he was born, and we had the Grocco pram. Now, to fit that thing into the boot, I had to disassemble it. You know, take the wheels off and everything, and then sort of put it in and hold it with your foot. And you know, you must have the timing right to slam the door. And when we went away for a long weekend and so on, you know, it was like, find the baby. He's somewhere there. And it was underneath the seat. There was stuff next to him. And it was with a safety belt because we don't want the stuff to fall on the chair. And it was groot gemors. And then I remember then, Lorette, like, you know, Kobus, congratulations. He had weer raak geskiet. Caleb's on the way. And I go like, yes, here, no, we're not doing this. Ons gaan nie, when this Fiat's not going to work. So we went looking for a car. And we went with a pram. And she would carry, like a pregnant, and she would carry Jemuel, and then we would get to the car dealer, and we look at the car, and I'll go, oh, nice car, open the boot. And the dealer's like, what's fault me, yo? I just open the boot. He opens the boot, and then I'm like, no, that's not going to work. So we literally went shopping, and every time I saw a car, I folded up the pram, and I put the pram in the boot. And I'm like, I can fit one bag. This is not going to work. Sorry. Go on shopping. So in any case, you know, parenting is, we eventually bought a Hyundai Elantra, which had a nice boot. But if we still went away with two babies for a long weekend, I still had to disassemble the pram. I actually became quite skilled in disassembling that thing. So Small prices that you pay, but it's you know, I'm sure where you are now and where the older guys are and the kids are out of the house and so on, you'll say, no, it's worth it. It's not always easy, but it's worth it. Now we're going to sing that song, Ross sing. In any case, all right. So the other thing I want to say is becoming a father is easy. Finishing well, not so much. And I'm not finished yet. And from what I've told is the fact that they leave the house doesn't mean that you're done. Apparently, when they leave the house, it just takes on another form, but you're never done. So we're looking forward to this whole lifelong journey with our sons and literally actually laying our life down for them. You know, if I see the amount that our parents has sacrificed for us, I'm blessed to have amazing parents. And I'm sure there are many of you that can say the same about your parents. All right, so in preparation for this, or what I want to do this morning, I want to look at Proverbs. There's many scriptures in the Bible that we can look at this morning, but this morning I want to look at Proverbs, because Proverbs was written by Solomon, who apparently was a wise man. All right, so why Proverbs? Because Proverbs, most books doesn't tell us why it was written, but Proverbs actually does this. In this verse, we're gonna read this now. But it leads to wisdom. Learning from Proverbs leads to wisdom, and we know that if you read Proverbs, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Apparently, there's something like 900 proverbs in Proverbs. So there's 31 chapters. So there's one chapter for every day. So you can read Proverbs for the rest of your life and become wise. All right? But we see that the wisdom starts with what? The fear of the Lord. Now, I want to just make sure that you understand that, because that is the context of everything that I'm about to say. This is the start. That the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And if we want to be wise parents, if we want to be wise dads, if we want to really be the men that God has called us to be, then it starts with the fear of God. If we're not going to start there, stay there, and finish there, then we're going to miss it somewhere along the line. So the best thing that we can do as fathers is become passionate about the fear of God, reverently worshiping Him with everything that is in us, constantly pursuing Him, saying, God, I want to pursue You with everything that is in me. All right? So that is where wisdom starts. Okay? If we see that God hates evil, we will see our folly and our need to live life as He desires. Powerful statement. You see, because God hates evil. And I think the best thing that we as the fathers and the fathers and the men in the house can do is to actually start hating evil like God hates it. He cannot be in the same place as evil. It cannot exist in His presence. He hates it. He's directly opposed to it. But it's when we as fathers become sort of, you know, iffy and not really decided on what we want to do in certain situations where things tend to not be so lacquer. So we need to understand that God hates evil. And in that understanding, we then see our own stupidity and the reason why we should actually live the life the way He desires. You know, and it's clear in the Bible that He gives us clear instruction on how to live this life. And that is partly why Proverbs was written. Okay? The book also tells us wisdom comes from God via other people. And that's why you'll see in this chapter that there's a very strong reference to family. Family in this book is actually very important, because God has chosen to endow wisdom through those that has gone before us. You know, I can say to my boys, don't do this because I've been there, done that. Crash and burn. Don't do this. And he's got a choice. They've got a choice to listen and learn from what I've done and not do it again. But if they don't, guess what? You must, as a parent, can see this now. Oh, man. Gou nou maar jou klippies, ou seun. You know, if you do this, I know the end result. I've been there. So we need to know as well that God has chosen this route to give us fathers and mothers to instruct us in the way that we should go, and we should listen to them. Now, the reality is there's many of us sitting here who today are fathers, but you also had a father. Or probably not, but if you did, and a mother, do you listen to their counsel? Do you learn from them? Because, I mean, when you become sort of this teenage phase, that in general, teenagers, they've got a loss of hearing in that they, you know, whatever the parents say, doesn't sort of, my mother always said, it's by the inward and by the onion eight. And I remember that so clearly because I remember hearing her speak, but not hearing her speak. You know, it's like, doot, 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 doot. There's like nobody home. Any kind. But I would have been wise to, at that time, listen to my, because that was probably Quivers, if you're going to do this, you know, you're setting yourself up here now for failure. And then I probably didn't listen, being slightly hard-headed. All right, so God has chosen to endow and or bestow this wisdom through the people that has gone before us. You know, I've got a friend who's an extremely, extremely successful businessman today. He's an entrepreneur, and he's really successful in what he does. But I remember when I met him, we were talking around the fire one day, and he was telling stories how his father, school holidays, how he didn't have a school holiday like the other guys. He had to go to his father's business and work in the business. And there was no, I mean, his father actually made sure that he had no privileges because his dad owned the business. He started from way at the bottom. He made him work like a donkey in that place. And he paid him peanuts. When he went to army, instead of a letter from his dad going, my son, I miss you so much, you're so awesome, and all this stuff, he received the company's bank statements, financial statements, and then he had to prepare a report for his dad on what he sees in the financial statements. But you know, we look at that and I go, yes, that's intense, dad. But I tell you what, in the destiny of God has created, when he's had amazing prophecies over his life, how God wants to use him financially, you must see where God has placed him. And how that wisdom that his father has accumulated, not that his dad was necessarily saved, but I think he got born again later, yeah. But how that wisdom was transferred to his sons, and how his son is now, I mean, he just, through a bit of a story, lost his company that was listed on the stock exchange. There's not just anybody can list a company on the stock exchange. So amazing wisdom that came down from the generations that's gone before him. And now, the other thing about Proverbs, and the reason why it's a good idea for us to read it, is that it deals with life in general. It gives us so much wisdom on how to even handle different situations that we face. You know, instructs us on how to respond to things that happen and how to deal, you know, make business deals and all these things. You know, they say it's the office, the street, the shop, the home, everywhere. It covers a range of topics, life in general, in Proverbs. So if I want to speak to fathers this morning, then I think it's maybe a good idea to go to the scripture and say, okay, listen, guys, what do we need to do? You see, because if you're not a father yet, yeah, you know, like the word says, if you have ears to hear, hear, because you're getting there one of these days. If you're a mother, that's the same thing. But if you are here, then you probably have a father, like I said, in there. How do you respond to what has happened? Right, so let's read this. Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and direction to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase. Now, if you are wise, you will increase, right, in learning. And the one who understands obtains guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So as we sit here this morning, we in essence have a choice on how we're going to respond to the scripture and allow God to actually direct our footsteps through this. Because here in this, he's saying that, listen, I want to teach you. It's interesting, the book of Proverbs does not refer to any sort of church stuff. It doesn't refer to the priests, the prophets, nothing. It's clearly it's a book for instruction. That's mainly its purpose for it. And if we read, I didn't put the scripture reference here, but just shortly after that, he starts off with this, and in the next 7 chapters, he says this so many times where he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." For the next 7 chapters, he has these moments where he says to his son, "Listen, I want you to hear this from me. I want you to hear this from me and your mother." So immediately, he starts and he brings in family into this whole thing, showing that what I just said, that family plays a big role in how we and what we need to understand. Right? So he starts as he says, listen to your father's instruction. I want to teach you something. So, since the youth are here, when your father and your mother says to you, listen to my instruction, who must listen? All right? Because they have been placed there by God to make your life easy. You know, you might not think so always, but they are there supposed to do this. All right, so and the parents went, oh man, missed an opportunity there. All right, so in Proverbs 1, so I just want to look at the next 7 chapters and just highlight for you what the stuff is that he highlighted for his sons. He's saying, listen, I want you to see this. To help us to instruct our kids, because it's quite interesting to see what he did. In Proverbs 1 verse 10, he says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." So, in this earth that we're staying in, there's going to be a lot of stuff that will entice you. There's going to be a lot of stuff that want to draw you away from the purposes of God. Because wisdom starts with the fear of God. So there's going to be this stuff that continually want to drag you away from this. But have the courage to say, I'm not doing this. You see, because you will only be able to say, I'm not going to do this, if you have the fear of God, if you have the wisdom of God, if you understand God's plans and his purposes, then only will you be able to discern that this is not right. You know, in our DNA and in who we are, God has placed that thing that we know what is wrong and what is right. I mean, when your friends say, I want you to do this, you know it's wrong. Because I've been there. And Amma can smile because we go like, and you all have flashbacks of that moment where you went, come on, dindi boys. I remember the day when we were playing tok-toki, which is not a big sin, but it's a small sin. And you know, if there's big and small sins, but we were playing tok-toki and we were throwing stones on this guy's roof. And the next moment, the door went open and out he came with a shotgun. I was like, I'm going to skit your life, frack! And that really, day I realized that throwing stones on people's roofs are sin, because you might die doing that. It's funny, we didn't stop playing that game, but we never threw a rock on that guy's roof again. I tell you, we were so scared of him. And he came out, he came looking for us. Oh, man. I think I was probably Jamel's age. I wanted to head for the hills. I was hiding in a bush this big, you couldn't see me. I became one with the bush. All right, so the first thing he says to his son, listen, hear my instruction. There's going to be evil people that want to draw you away, that want to carry you away, want to show you stuff that is not God's plan for your life. I want you to have the courage to say no. But you'll have the discernment to do that once you have the fear of God. Amen? Right, so the second thing he lifts out to him is in Proverbs 2, verse 4 to 5. And he says, wisdom. If you seek wisdom like silver and search for it as forbidden for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now in our day and age, we don't have this so much, but I'm sure in the cowboy movies, you know, the gold rush type stuff where you know, someone just found one small tiny little piece of gold in a river and it was chaos. Everybody moved there to find this gold, because some dude found gold, and there's going to be lots of gold now. I must say, when we were, what's that plek in Namibia? Spookdorp. Luderitz. Have you ever been to that Spookdorp thing? Where the gold rush, the Germans have been in the diamonds, sorry, diamonds. They had diamonds, sorry, not gold rush. I'm on gold. Any case, diamonds, man. Now we go and we visit this place. You know what you end up doing? You walk around like this. Although they tell you when you go in, if you find something, you better, you know, we've got cameras, we are watching you. No, it's rech. It's rech. I'm looking for a diamond. And in my mind, it's that perfect one that sits in a ring, you know, but apparently a diamond doesn't come like that when it lies in the sand. So show you how much I know. But if we were in that gold rush stage, then what it basically says is that you almost have to have that gold rush fever in finding wisdom. So he's saying to his son, my son, listen, above everything in your life, find this wisdom. Find it. Look for it like you're going to search for silver or gold or some precious thing. Look for it. Find it. Do everything in your power. Don't allow sleep to come to your eyes, but find this thing. You know, there's a lot of times in my life that I actually wish my father did that. Where he would set me down and say, Kobus, your course of action is slightly off. Look for wisdom. Can I instruct you in the way that you should go? Can I teach you? Listen, go talk to Gavi. He's been through this. Go find wisdom there. And he's instructing his son, listen. He said, because then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Powerful stuff. How we need to pursue this. Then the next thing in Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4, he says to him, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Mercy, unmerited favor, where you show mercy to someone. Truth, normally we major on the fact. If we want to see something, what is the fact? But God is saying, truth. What is the ultimate truth? Now, where will you find truth? In the fear of God. In wisdom. Right? So he said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So it's not like you'll just have favor with God. You will actually experience favor with man when you deal with people in mercy and truth. You know, but it's in our day and age, it's become so much about the bottom line, the profit. You know, where's that? That the truth and the mercy has gone out the window. I know of someone that literally has to resign his job because he's not willing to do what the boss wants him to do. He's standing up for this truth. So he's saying to his son, listen, my son, you cannot allow mercy and truth to depart from you. Bind the stuff around your neck. We wear a lot of stuff around our necks these days. Let's wear that thing. And then the amazing thing is if you do that, if you walk in that, you will have further. Firstly, you will find favor and you will have good understanding in the sight of God. What a place to be where we'll have understanding in the sight of God. And then obviously with man. And then another thing which he says in Proverbs 4 verse 7 to 9, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you do, get insight. So it's not just about acquiring the wisdom. It's about getting the insight as well. Understanding how it works. Knowing how to apply it. You know, taking it just from the sort of head knowledge to actually applying it physically today, every day. The insight to do that is find that stuff, my son. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place you on your head. Sorry, now less no terrible. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. That's amazing. And this is where people who choose not to look for wisdom, but sit in their own folly, don't understand how people can be successful that are actually pursuing this. And their lives are transformed. They actually look great and they, you know, like fancy and all the rest of it. But it's because they were pursuing this. So he's saying to his son, listen, my son, Learn from me. Pursue this. Okay? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get it. Get wisdom, and whatever you do, get insight. And then in Proverbs 5, verse 3 to 5, he says this. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip like honey. All right? And her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, whatever that is. I mean, that must be terrible. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, her steps follow the path to Sheol. So he's saying to him, listen, my son, there's going to be a woman out there that will lead you to your destruction. And you better be wake up to hear and be attentive to what God is saying to you in that season. Understanding this so that this woman will not entice you. You know, there's many, and I know none of them are here, but there are ladies in the world that are just there for their own gain. And many a man has fallen to that trap. And he's saying to him, listen, my son. He does the same in chapter 7. He warns his son again against this woman that wants to entice him. You know, and we know men's weakness is the female body. I mean, ladies are sexy. There's no more who it is. You know, like I said, twice refined, no dust. Came from a rib. So they are beautiful. And we as men are stimulated by what we see. So, I mean, our knees buckle bad quickly. And then we sort of lose this actual sense of, okay, let's put it this way, our brains go, you know, there's like nothing left. And we lose all sense of what we need to do and not to do. And he's saying here to his son, listen, my boyki, listen now, your pa, be careful of this woman. Because it drips like honey. It's sweet, man. It's going to be nice. You need to watch this. Okay? And I think it's the same for ladies these days. There's some dudes that want to do this too. Right. And then in Proverbs 6, he says this. My son, if you have put up surety for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. Now, many of us have signed surety. It's something these days. Listen, I just signed for the new house. And I said to the attorney, this is like bullying, man. Because if you don't sign the papers, you don't get the bond. But in there is some nasty stuff. And I'm going, can I scratch this out? She says, you're welcome. You might not get the bond, but you're welcome. Now, what do you do? It's a tough place to be. I actually don't know. You know, we had to sign it because I want the house. In actual fact, my house was sold. If I didn't sign it, I was like straatkind. So you have to sign. But he's saying, son, don't get involved in this thing where you sign surety for another man. And if you do, he actually says in this chapter, don't give sleep to your eyes. Do what you have to do, but get yourself out of that thing. Don't be a slave to that person to whom you have signed surety for. All right? Good advice. Good advice. Wisdom that he's imparting to his sons. And then later in chapter 6, he says this. There are 6 things the Lord hates. 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty, which is proud or arrogant eyes. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So just in chapter 6, he gives him a quick thing of what God hates. He's instructing his sons to not get involved in these things. And I think we as fathers will be wise if we look out for these things in our sons. You know, our sons do not go to sin training school. It is crazy. They get out of the womb like that. Obviously, the daughters are twice refined. You know, like I said, they don't do these things. They just dress many times in one day. But they so quickly that these things will come into your children's lives where they will be there and you go, what is this? And we as fathers need to be vigilant to see these things in our children's lives and go, no, listen, this is what God actually hates. Let's fix this. Can we change these things in your life? So fathers, your role as a father is very crucial. And I think in our day and age in this world, the world actually wants to play down the role that we play. You know, and it plays it down in many ways. You know, feminism has played a big role in making men passive. But I think on the other side of the coin, the working arena has lost the value of family. So the fathers are spent time at work and business, and they are not there at home anymore. So our role as fathers is being diminished and becoming nothing. But today I want to say to you, listen, I don't know where you are, what you know, if you're dad yet or not, or you, where your, how your relationship with your father, but please understand that this fatherly role is an important place to be. We cannot allow the fact that God has called us to be dads to be made to nothing, right? We need to constantly teach our kids through words and deeds. You know, it's amazing how your children will catch what you do rather than do what you say. And that is why I say there at the bottom, you know, you need to lead by example. You know, I think one thing that I've seen is, does our children see that we serve God physically at house, at home? Or is all that they see just dad leaving? Which is something that's close to my heart. I think for me it's important that my kids actually see that I have a relationship with God, and I'm inviting them into that relationship as well. Okay, and what I said there as well, note what you are doing, but also what you are not doing. What is the stuff that as a father that you are not doing at this time that God is just putting his finger on and saying, listen, what do you need to do? Now, it's interesting. If I look at my dad, I can tell everything that he should do. You know, what he's not doing, I can tell him, Dad, you're not doing this. Dad, you should do this, you know, because this is about me and you need to love me because I'm me. But it's not about that. It's like understanding what I must do as a father and applying it. You know, and actually, if your dad's not doing those things, encourage them. If your dad is not, you know, bestowing wisdom and teaching you, then go ask. So many times people want to be mentored, but they don't ask. And then they moan because they're not being mentored, but they did not ask. So maybe just go to your dad and pursue that relationship and say, listen, Dad, I need you to speak into my life. All right? Continue to instruct and lead your children in the fear of God, and that's what I want to bring it back to what we said. The beginning of wisdom starts with the fear of God. The biggest favor we as men can do to those that we lead is actually pursuing God more than anything. Having that I hunger and I thirst after you attitude in our lives, saying, God, I'm doing this. Okay? Guide them daily in truth and warn them of dangers. Listen, sometimes when you speak to your children and you warn them of dangers, they go, ah, psh, wow. You know, what do you know? Kind of, I hope that's not happening to you. But my sons are not doing that. Just checking, right? All right. But you know, that does not mean that me as a father must back off. In actual fact, you need to ask God for wisdom on how to handle the situation so that you can keep that relationship, steward that relationship, be in there, go, my son, where are you? What you're doing is wrong, but even though what you're doing is wrong, I still love you. You're still my son. I'm still going to pursue you. You're not getting away from me. You know, it's like having a sardine on a hook, but you've got 25 kg line on your rod. There's not a chance that sardine can break the line. And that's what a father must be. A stupid example. Man, where did that thing come from? I was just thinking of standing next to the sea. Okay. But we must continually pursue them. We cannot allow the enemy to stay. And it's never too late. It's never too late. We must. And even like Reza shared, we need to allow God in that moment, that vulnerable moment, to be there. Because that moment will come. And then I said, lead by example. They must know and see you spend time with God. If they follow you, they must follow Christ. And that all is in that sense of, I'm pursuing the fear of God. I am constantly saying, God, what do you want to teach me? Constantly being in that place where I'm in God's presence, where He can download stuff to me as a father. And listen, I can say, when we got kids, I started frantically looking for this manual, you know, that tells you how to be a dad. And I, to this day, could not find this darn thing that tells me in every situation, you know, if Jemuel says this, this is how you should respond. If he's in response with this, please do this. And there's no manual in that except the Word of God wanting to instruct me in how I should go. You know, God made us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows exactly what my boys need. The best thing I can do is ask Him. So I need to pursue this relationship with God more than anything. And listen, I'm going to mess up. I understand that. And I'm going here to help. Because if I do mess up, please just get them to the purposes and the destiny that you have for them. Please just take them there. So dads, this morning I want to say to you, and moms too, but to the dads because it's Father's Day, you are irreplaceable. No one can take your place. The enemy will want to make you nothing, but you are not. You are the father of the children that God has given you. You need to stand up and take the authority in the house. Lead by pursuing God and His wisdom. And through that pursuit, God will use you in mighty ways to instruct your children. I just want Reza to just share a quick testimony, what happened in his life.
Morgen. Ek wil gewoon net deel wat met my pa gebeur het. Het was 'n groot toets vir ons gewees, maar ek dink uit die test het 'n groot testimony gekom. April die 18de het ek 'n oproep van my ma gekry om te sê dat my pa baie siek was. So ons het deur geras en toe het ons uitgevind dat hy 'n aneurysm gehad het. So basically 'n aar het binne in sy kop gebars. En toe ons daar kom, toe was hy soos in 'n semi-induced coma state. En ek het onmiddellik vir die mense gevra om begin te bid, al die prayer groups en ons selgroep. En wat ek net kan sê is daai gebede het vir ons deur daai proses gedra. Ons het nooit hopeless gevoel nie. Ons het altyd gedink, daai pa gaan miskien weer uit daai ding uitkom. En daar gaan iets wonderlik gebeur en daar het, wat ek nou net gaan deel. Wat ek toe uitgevind het oor die hele situasie is dat my pa het nooit liefde van sy pa ontvang nie. En my pa het al die jare, het hy 'n bietjie drank misbruik en hy was baie violent van die familie gewees. Maar ek glo dit is omdat sy pa nooit vir hom daai liefde gewys het nie. En so my pa was nooit 'n kerkmens gewees nie. En een van die dinge wat ek en my ma altyd gehoop het is dat, ons altyd gebid vir hom en dis nou oor baie jare, ek dink meer as 30 jaar, dat hy altyd na die Here toe sal kom. En wat toe gebeur het is, dat hele week, waar hy in Tigerberg geleer het, het ons om gaan visit, en ons het gebid, en daar was prayer walks en goed gewees. En wat die wonderlike ding was gewees, om net te sien dat al die mense vir ons bygestaan het as 'n familie. En wat toe gebeur het, dit was die 18de gewees, en die laaste tyd wat ek vir hom gesien het, was op sy verjaarsdag, was toe die Vrydag voor dit gewees. En wat so wonderlik was, dat ek het eindelijk sy verjaarsdag so 'n bietjie vergeet. En my broer het toe vir my gebel en gesê, hy gaat my pa nou 'n paar goedjies koop, en hulle gaan nou soos 'n verjaarsdag hou. En ek sê vir hom, hoorie, ek het nou eindelijk vergeet, maar moet nie waar nie, ek gaan nou hapies, want ek het gevoel die Here sê, hoorie, gaan sien jou pa. Ek kry nie eindelijk baie daai gevoel, maar dit was op die tyd gewees waar ek net gevoel het in die angst, dat die Here gesê het, gaan sien jou pa. En ek was daarby om gewees. En die ding wat ek altyd, want nou van die laaste dag wat ek hom gesien het, is dat hy was at absolute peace gewees, wat ek nog nooit in sy lewe gesien het nie. En toe ek my ma daarvan vertel, toe sê nie, maar ek weet nie of jy weet nie, dat jou pa het eventually na die Here toe gekom. En dit het oor 'n lang tydperk gevat. Ek dink, toe ek 1.5 jaar laas getrou het, het my pa so 'n groot kruis vir ons gebou vir die ceremony, en hy kruis is nou binnen ons huis. En daar was net baie goed wat gebeur het, wat ek julle nou kan vertel, dat my pa na die Here toe gelei het, en het was hier 'n ding gewees, waar ons gekerm op sy kop, en gesê, hoorie, jy moet saak reg kry nie, en ek nou, in die week, toe ons nog, die pre-meetings, en goed, toe die Vrydag, ek dink die Vrydag, het die dokter vir ons gesê, jou pa is stabiel, maar hy gaan nie, alles sien nie, brain activity nie, so hy is so semi-induced state, maar hy is nie brein dood nie, so as jy met hom praat, dan sal hy jou hand squeeze en goed. So dit is baie erg gewees, want as jy praat met hom, dan kan jy sien op jou heart rate monitor, dit gaan op en af so, maar hy obviously kan nie dit nie. Toe sê die dokter vir ons, hoorie, daar is niks wat hulle eintlik mats verder kan doen nie. En ek onthou die vrydag aand, toe was ek my broer by hom, en ons het gebid, en ons het bietjie gepraat met hom. En toe wat gebeur is dat, ons het nou gebid en so, en net daar, toe praat die Here met my, toe sê die Here vir my, sê vir jou pa, jy is lief vir hom, en jy is trots op hom, en dit was like soos 'n groot oomblik vir my gewees, van hy het nog nooit dit vir my gesê nie. En ek het gesê, Dad, ek het jou baie lief, en ek is baie trots op jou, en toe soen ek vir hom, en ek my broers uit, maar ons het baie peace gehad. Die volgende oggend 1:00, toe ontvang ons die oproep, dat my pa gegaan het, en baie peaceful en goed, en ek wil julle net sê, dit is net soos die reassurance om te weet waar hy nou is, en toe op sy begrafnis, so kan ek het deel met sy familie, wat obviously nou nie, hulle saak reg het saam die Here, en ons is maar old alcohol ook genoem, vir die mense daar. Ja, dit was een bykie pressurized vir hulle gewees, maar dit was goed gewees. Ek het het gevoel die Here sê, hoor, ons is nie tyd om nog te morsie. En, ja, en toe na die begrafnis, toe het my ma vir my gebel, toe sê sy, my broer het so baie mooi droom gehad, sy het gesê dat my broer het gedroom, hy het my pa gesien in die hemel in, my pa het nie gelyk so daar, like, hy lyk baie jonger, en my pa het van my broer gesê, alles is ok, ek is in die hemel, en hoef nie meer te worry oor my nie, en ek dink, die grootste lesheid wat ek eet, dink, is van versoening, alhoewel ons vir 'n lang tyd gebid het, en gelyk of dinge nie verander nie, dinge het we eventually, en dit is op die Here se tyd, en ons weet nie soms hoe dit gaan gebeur nie, en hierdie, het was 'n groot toets, maar is toe 'n testimony, en ek dink, het my pa miskien daar uitgekom, en hy was miskien breindood, of hy was in 'n wheelchair, sal het nie so goed gewees het, nie. So, dit is staf, hy is weg, maar at least weet ek waar hy nou is, so ek dink die ander ding is ook, you must honor and respect your parents, ek dink in die Bible staat dat, so that it might go well with you, daar is nie een conditie attached aan nie, nie wanneer hy kerk toe gaan, of wanneer hy saved is, you must honor and respect your parents, so it might go well with you, so ek wil net vir die mense net aanmoedig, as hulle miskien ouers het, even as hulle saved is goed, en die saak is die recht met hulle, gaan doen dit, want jy weet nooit, wanneer die tyd sal wees, en het gebeur net so skielik, ok.
It is never too late. I say, powerful testimony. I think something that we can do as dads is probably sit and read Proverbs with our kids. There's some funny stuff in there. You want to have a good laugh? Gaan lees daar. I mean, there's really some Proverbs there that I'm going like, yeah, okay. So this morning, being Father's Day, we want to do something. We want to bless you. We just want to get the kids in here because this is a family moment. So I want the children, kom julle, kom, 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 kom. Sergeant Major, I say, jawel, kom julle, kom, yes, hier voor. Kom, kom, hier staan hier, staan hier, ja, staan hier. Kom julle, kom, kom, staan hier voor, kom, kom, staan hier voor, staan hier voor. Hallo julle, welkom hier so. Oeh, julle lyk so oulik. Right, can I ask all the dads to stand? Pas, julle kan staan. Right, ushers, you can hand out their gift. Yes, julle lyk om smart vir oggend, né? Huh? Hello, julle. Right, so dads, I see they've made a card for you. Let's just hear what happened here in the back.
Moet ek Engels? Hallo, môre almal. So elke maatjie, die opdrag was geweest, jy moet vir papa teken en vir jou. So vir party is dit nou 'n mooi detail prentjie, vir ander is dit 'n kop met arms en bene, so soek maar. En dan het ons vir hulle gevra, wat wil jy vir papa sê, of wat is vir jou cool van papa, of waarvan hou jy papa? So dis elkeen het sy eie boodskapje gesê.
So dads, if you've got a gift, I want you to come fetch your children. Because I want them to be with you for the next thing. If you can find your own dad, please find him. Hey, Susan, ek dink jy kan maar nou die kant toe kom. Ek meen, come on, staan so alleen hier so. Okay, so what I want you to do, Dad, is I want you to, firstly, there's going to be two things that happen. First thing is I want the dads to pray over their family this morning. All right? And then I want, if the kids can pray, let them pray. Otherwise, Ma's on duty. All right? And then I want Ma to just pray for the dads. If your dads are not here, then I want you to link with someone. It doesn't have to be a dad figure, but just then pray for your father. Doesn't matter what your relationship is like, but pray for your dads that they will be able to pursue God, that they will find the wisdom, and that if your relationship is not where it should be, that that will be restored. Can we this morning, for those that are there, trust God for mighty things to happen here this morning? Amen? Can we trust God that He will restore families, change things, make it better if not? And if your dad is saved and is a man of God, then I just want you to pray a blessing over him this morning. Amen? So, all right, let's take a few moments. Let's just really pray and bless one another. And when we're done, you're welcome to go for a coffee and have a lekker afternoon. And may the Lord bless you as you go.